And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always on Mondays, my good friend, Mikelle Bear. Mikelle, oh, what's up?
Well, this morning, I watched a game, and it was a tense game. I mean, emotional. Terrible in terms of getting a basketball inside a basket. But great for everything else. I mean, this team can get you excited for in many different ways. I mean, you have the we can't miss game. We have the Shea game, and then we have these games where, yes, Shea is great, but it's the greedy defense. It's the not letting it go, just being there in the moment. And at the last possession, like, nail the most important shot and nail the most important defense of the game. It's impressive.
Yeah, that final play, one, you have to give the Nuggets so much credit, because the way that they defended until Mark had to call a timeout was outstanding. It was perfect. There were no gaps in the defense. There was no window of opportunity for anybody. And I'm glad he called the timeout, because they were about to get some just real garbage shot up, and they were definitely going to miss. Like, that's what was going to happen. They kept down that road and didn't call a timeout. But they called the timeout, and Shea is so smart. Because I wish I was there to ask, because I'm not certain that play was definitely going toward the basket for Shea. He kind of faked to the left and then went to the basket. But yeah. I don't know if he was supposed to go get the ball or if that was it. But he definitely saw that he had a clear path to the basket and had a step on Aaron Gordon and got there and then just made it. That was not an easy shot either, by the way. Like, that was not a gimme, but Shea made it look really easy.
Because he gathered immediately. Because he didn't let Aaron Gordon, which I called Eric Gordon this morning on Thunder of the Dark, I think, a gazillion time. But anyway, the immediate gather was the reason why he got open for real. Sure. Because Gordon snuffed it out almost immediately. He was there. Had Shea took another dribble or just waited an extra second, that would have been much, much harder. Instead, Shea realized that and boom. Yeah.
Yeah. And Shea hadn't scored since like the 4-minute mark in the fourth quarter. And it felt like no one had scored since about the 4-minute mark in the fourth quarter. It was a pretty miserable fourth quarter up until that point. It felt like scoring was the most impossible thing ever. Mm-hmm. So like last year's Thunder team trying to score the ball. I mean, there were 7 of 19 in the fourth quarter alone. Kenrich Williams, this will get lost, but Kenrich hit such a big three down the stretch of that game to just
1:17 left.
Yeah, just to give them a little bit of life, because it felt like this game was just slipping away. And It felt a little bit like the Thunder were handing it to them, and the Nuggets were just saying, no, we're good, because they missed a billion free throws in that game. They were 3 of 10 in the fourth quarter. Two of those went in from Zeke Nagy at the end there, and I kind of thought, okay, this might be it for the Thunder. because he hit those two, tied the game up, and you thought, okay, this might be it. And they ended up pulling it off, one, because of the outstanding play call from Mark, outstanding pass from Giddey, outstanding finish from Shea. It was great. It was just perfect. And then the defense from Dort on the other end on Jamal Murray was just awesome. It was about as good as you can play Jamal in that final possession. And, you know, Lou has been good. Recently, Lou has been really, really good. Mm-hmm. And he played Jamal really well. Now, I mean, that's the only guy. Like, who else has taken that shot, you know, for the Nuggets? I mean, that's it. It's just Jamal. And
yeah,
he played him about as perfectly as you could ask.
It was very similar to the defense that Lou had against Dame on the final shot of the game.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It was a different part of the floor. Jamal tried the baseline, then he had to pull back. And, I mean, Lou can't play every single possession like he did because it was very aggressive. But this is how you defend the last shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put your chest, not your hands. And, I mean, 90 times over 100, this is not a foul. Yeah. You risk a bit, but you have to. You have to be aggressive. You have to play aggressive basketball there. It was great timing, exceptional move, exceptional at moving his feet to stay in front of him. And he jumped at the right moment.
Jumped at the right moment. Jamal is to his right, but he is waving his arm like a madman in front of him to just alter the shot. And Dort is the master at like waving his arms in the right places most of the time. Mm-hmm. He's just like, he's such a menace, and he just finds ways to disrupt the offensive player. And like, that was one of them where he's just waving his arm to the side. It was amazing. It was so good. Like that win felt really good. And I know that no Jokic, no MPJ, but still to pull that off in altitude, the second game of this road trip, like, that's a big win. I mean, we talked about this Friday, and I kind of charted out like the next handful of games before the All-Star break, and like, these were both that I've had marked down as losses, both of them. And there's circumstances that led to this being an easier game than it could have been with Jokic, for sure. Because, I mean, the Thunder had whatever they wanted in the paint almost all night, up until really the fourth quarter. They were having their way with the Nuggets getting to the rim. And with Jokic there, it would have been different. Not that Jokic is like some crazy rim protector, but he's just more of a presence in the middle than like a Zeke Nagy. So you don't agree?
I don't know. I felt that OKC had their way with a few guys, not in general. I mean, Trey Mann had a few moments, but it was mostly Giddey and Shea that were murdering Denver. And I think that this was a point of emphasis, no matter who was guarding the paint.
Sure.
I mean, if you have Jokic, then probably you try to play a little bit more high pick and roll to lure him out and then attack. So I don't know.
Jokic is just giant compared to Zeke or somebody like that who's thinner. Like the Thunder
slower.
He's slower. He's slower, but he just takes up so much more space.
Yeah.
And he's just a smarter player. Like, just flat out.
Yeah, that's true.
Positionally, he just knows. He's not like some world beater defender, but you don't become a 2-time MVP and by being a traffic cone on defense.
Like, no. It's not like crazy. It's not like his first 2 years in the league where he was really a problem defensively. Now he's not. I just wonder if the strategy of OKC would have changed dramatically with him on the court. I don't think so. I think that they would have tried more pick and rolls. Surely Muscala, I mean, the shot distribution of Mike was very weird last night. Mm-hmm. I thought with Jokic on, he would probably try to lure him out with a few pick and pops. But I'm really impressed by the way Giddey is attacking the basket. Mm-hmm. The frequency, the results, the fact that he doesn't have many doubts when he drives there. It's just, hey, I'm going to score. And this is so important. I know that we were all excited when he was taking threes, and now he's not taking them. But the defense is paying attention no matter what, because they know that they can't really leave him out. Otherwise, if he's attacking the basket at full speed, he's not as easy to guard. Yeah. So I think that the defense is not cheating as much, which is lowering the number of attempts that he takes from three, because it takes still a little bit to load the shot up. But it's still working. And again, it's the results are impressive for Giddy.
Yeah, he finished really well last night. I mean, he was 9 of 17 at 53% from the field. And just finished with a variety of ways, like in the paint, where it's like the floater, like the, his little push shot, getting all the way to the rim. He's just been really good. He just is, he's ultra confident right now, and it's just really fun to watch. And, I mean, he was a huge reason. Like, his first half in particular was just ridiculous. What was he in the first half? I mean, it felt like he didn't miss in the first
half.
Seven out of nine? Yeah.
Something like that.
7 of 10 in the first half. It just felt like he couldn't miss no matter where he was. So that was incredible. Like, what a performance by Josh. And, I mean, Shea, goodness. Shea put on a show last night in Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like, hey, we need superstar Shea, and he showed up in a ton of ways, and mostly, again, in the paint. Like, they just dominated the paint. He and Giddy just absolutely dominated the paint. I mean, he took two threes, and then he took one, two, three, four other shots outside the paint.
Yeah.
All of the other shots were inside the paint, and that's not easy to do. Like, he had to really find his way in, because he's just like the focal point of the offense. It's like, who else do we need to worry about right now? I thought that he was just so good. And then the other thing that I noticed just throughout the night is, like, Aaron Wiggins, while he didn't make like some crazy impact, you know, I think he took three shots total and missed two of them. His ability to extend possessions last night was just really big. He had several plays where he just kept things alive. I mean, to speak to that, he had four rebounds, all offensive rebounds last night in his 16 minutes. I just think he's such a positive player. He didn't have a positive plus minus last night, but this was a 2-point game. It's going to be tough to make that happen. But I thought he was tremendous last night as well, and like deserves a shout out for the way that he played.
Yeah, and it's at a certain point, it was clear that Degnold favored him instead of Trey Mann. I mean, he was just putting him for defense and for rebounding. I mean, last night, the weird thing is that, yes, Denver didn't have Jokic nor MPJ, but OKC really tried to put an emphasis on the boards. They won the board battle, and I mean, it's not that they had more big men. It's just that guys like Wiggins, like Giddy, Kenrich, they all contribute to a high level in terms of getting rebounds and controlling, not allowing too many second chances. And that matters. I mean, in a game that you win by 2 points in Denver, like, the fact that they were able to put energy on the court for 48 minutes and again, having, I mean, something that we have to say is that it's not that OKC shot the ball terribly because of shot quality. I think that they created so many open shots, and they were just missing, but it's not that they didn't create very good looks. I mean, Isaiah Joe had probably one contested three, and he just made one out of what's five?
I don't remember. Two of seven.
Seven, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Still not a great percentage when he has like six, seven shots.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a weird night, honestly. Like, it was a weird game. It was an intense game. I wouldn't say it was like a well-played game. Like, just the kind of shots they got in the fourth quarter especially were just like, oh, man, come on, guys. Like, this isn't it. Like, the offense wasn't working. And some of that was Denver. I mean, they could throw out a unit that, like, defended really, really hard. Like, KCP is really good. Aaron Gordon's really good. Bruce Brown's really good. Zeke Nagy is trying real hard. You know, like there's mm-hmm. there's like reasons why it was tough on the Thunder. But they got, obviously they got just the right amount there at the end, you know, and really it was what the catalyst for winning the game was just the way they started. You know, they won the first quarter 27-18 and they got up early and they looked really good from the jump. And that was the catalyst because it was like nip and tuck from there. And then Denver outplayed the Thunder in the fourth. And then if honestly, this is like the anti-Heat game where they shot 17 of 33 from the line. And it was just, I mean, if I were a Nuggets fan, I would be so mad.
Hey, because they regression to the mean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to happen.
They had so many chances. I mean, they could have had that game wrapped up. I mean, you just make five more free throws, like the game's wrapped up. Like that would have been it. And still they wouldn't have shot a good percentage from the line had they made five more. They're 51% from the line. Like that's just unacceptable. Like that is just so, so bad. A lot of that was Aaron Gordon, who was 6 of 13. Like, oh boy. Like,
yeah.
And you feel a little bad for him because he played really well otherwise. But
oh, it was great.
Miss, like there are sometimes where, and this is where you watch him and you're like, oh, okay, there's Orlando Aaron Gordon, where he's trying to be too aggressive going to the hoop,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like, he doesn't have any control once he gets there. He's just bigger and stronger than guys and faster than guys, and he can just get there. But once he gets there, he's a little bit like Dort, where it's just like, I don't know exactly how I'm going to finish this, but I'm just going to get there. He did that a little bit. But his defense was the reason why this was close. Because, I mean, if not, I think Shea was just on one where he could have... I mean, Shea could have had 50 last night had Aaron not defended him well. And he still had 34 points on 21 shots. And didn't... Only shot 8 free throws. You know, it's not like he went to the line like a crazy amount. I mean, it's below his average amount of free throws. But Shea was just... He was on another level last night with the way that he played, and even with Gordon playing, it's like, oh man, Gordon played about as well as anybody could play. It's like, well, not enough, not well enough.
Yeah. I mean, for Gordon, you can apply the same rule as Dort. I mean, you can't play that brand of basketball, that aggressive brand of basketball for 48 minutes. Otherwise you'll probably commit too many fouls, mm-hmm. but you can do it for 6 minutes. And he did it. He was very good. Mm-hmm. I think that Shea passed on a few chances that he could have to create better shots, which didn't happen or didn't go in. But Gordon is the prototype of defender that Shea struggles a little bit against, like guys that are quick enough and have size and strength. I mean, against those guys, Shea's not optimal. But even if it's not optimal, I mean, he's still incredible. And the free throw, I mean, over the past two games, OKC really didn't get to the line. Yeah. Part of it is maybe not attacking as much. I mean, I know that they had a lot of points in the paint, but a decent amount were short jumpers and floaters, which, I mean, it's unlikely that you get too many fouls out of that. Mm-hmm. Still, I felt that 16 shots, free throw shots are not representative of how OKC attacked the basket. And if you pair the game against Sacramento and this one, OKC really had very little luck in terms of having free throws. So it's to me, yes, Jokic didn't play, MPJ didn't play. Denver shot the ball terribly from the free throw line. But this is still a win that OKC was not gifted. I mean,
no.
So it's it gives me hope that even if they don't, they didn't take too many free throws, they didn't shot the ball particularly well from three. They were 26.7%. They were still able to manage the game and to win it. It's again, it's impressive.
Yeah, showing poise in those final two possessions, where it really mattered was. Is what they need to do. I mean, it's like another touch point for them. And they're 23 and 24 today. And I mean, 23 wins was their over under for Vegas. I mean, they win one more this week. They're over that. And we still have a giant chunk of the season left. I mean, it's pretty impressive stuff that they've been able to do. And obviously, most of that credit goes to Shea, but then a lot of it needs to go to Mark. It's been tremendous.
Yeah.
I thought Mark coached a really good game. And then Giddy and then Dort. Like, those guys have just been so, so good. Yeah. I mean, you look at the standings currently. They're on the outside looking in on the play-in. They're tied with the Golden State Warriors at 23-24. They have a game with the Warriors coming up soon, which will be a very interesting one. The Warrior, I can't quite get a grasp on the Warriors, honestly. Like, that loss to the Nets yesterday was just a little baffling to me. Kyrie was obviously just ridiculous, but this was the full squad for the Warriors, and then you lose in Chase Center to the Nets without KD. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, I don't quite know what to think about them. You know, unless
maybe it's an end of an era. I mean,
feels like it could be.
Or they just will turn it on over the last 20 games of the season just to give it a try. It's hard. It's hard to be this bad and then turn it on.
Yeah. I mean, you think that like they turn it on and they had some decent wins recently, and then they got the Grizzlies. Like, the Thunder have a tough schedule, but Golden State does too. Like, they got the Grizzlies at home, I think Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's a really interesting one, because like upcoming for the Thunder, if you're choosing dumb and you want them to win, you know, they have the Hawks on Wednesday night. Here in OKC. Like, that's an interesting one, because the Hawks have started to get it going a little bit. Mm-hmm. They had won 5 in a row before they inexplicably lost to the Hornets. It's like, come on. But they beat Pacers, Raptors, Heat, Mavs, Knicks. It's like, oh, okay. Like, that's a really good stretch. And then you go and you lose to the Hornets. Like, the minute I start to have faith in them, then they lose to Mason Plumlee. Was like 25-11 in that game. It's like, come on, guys. You cannot allow something like that to happen. So that's a really interesting one. That's a toss-up to me. Like, if they can beat Atlanta, like, I think they're talented enough to beat Atlanta. Then they have, on Friday, they play Cleveland.
Which is super hard.
That's a tough one. Cleveland is just good. Like, they're just flat out a good team. They're not flawless, but they're really good. They beat a Bucks team that is good. The Bucks didn't have Giannis, but still, like, the Bucks are schematically still really tough. And Evan Mobley in that game. Did you see what Evan Mobley did against the Bucks?
No.
Well, first of all, he had 27 shots, which just like made me really proud of him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No Donovan Mitchell, and I don't know what Mitchell's status would be for Friday. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But he had 38, 9, and 3.
That's nice.
It's pretty nice. Like, that's the version of Evan Mobley that, like, all the bloggers and podcasters have been talking about. And we haven't seen that version of him a whole lot since he's been in the league, just because he doesn't get 27 shots typically. And so I think that's cool to see, because he's a really good player. So that matchup should be tough. Like, the Thunder will definitely not be favored in that matchup against Cleveland at home. And then they have the Warriors on Monday night, January 30th at home. So that's a tough little stretch here. They're already through two of those games, and they're 500. Lost in Sacramento, won at Denver. Like, that's about as good of a start as you can get. And I had them banked one win out of these five, and still, like, you can get to 500.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's three games at home. It's not that you have to win one, but it would be good. to win at least one.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're hoping for the play-in, hope is not lost if they lose all three of these. Just because they have Houston, Golden State, Lakers with Rui Hachimura on February 7th. So watch out.
What a sad trade.
So sad. It's so depressing. Like, what a depressing way to start out the trade season. It's like, hey, our failed lottery pick for Kendrick Nunn and 3 second-round picks that likely won't matter.
Yeah.
Hooray. Help is on the way, LeBron. Don't worry. They probably would get some more fans. Just having a player from Japan is like, it's great. You know, it's kind of cool for, I hope the Lakers make the playoffs just for Rui now, just because I want to see him in the playoffs.
I mean, and Rui is one of the good examples of being a little bit unlucky and being on a team that really doesn't maximize what you have. I don't know, because no one knows, if had Rui been picked from another team, what changes? I have no idea, of course.
Yeah.
If you look at the way in which some of the development of the OKC players over the past few years, how they developed them, not necessarily the results, but the way in which they try to insert concepts that maybe players are not familiar with or players struggle with at the beginning.
Yeah.
And with Rui, I mean, he was, he's very talented. He was coming out of Gonzaga, like one of the top 10 prospects in this draft.
Yeah, and he was like 20 points, I think like 7 boards and like not an insignificant number of assists per game. Like he's extremely talented. He played there a few years, which is like whatever, but you know, he wasn't like some like one and done guy.
No, yeah, I think he was a junior when he was drafted, 21 years old.
Yeah,
same age as J-Dub, and you could see him in a point forward role, but you have to work on the fact that he was okay taking mid range shots and not threes, and that his shot diet was not perfect for the league, and instead, I mean, I didn't see that coming to fruition. When I see him playing, I mostly see the same player. Again, with a bit of injury. I mean, he was a little bit unlucky on that end. But still, I mean, you can see that how you develop players is almost as important as the player that you take. I mean, it's... and with Washington, it's not great. I mean, if you look at the last few... drafts. I mean, it's
not great. Depressing. Is an understatement. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit depressing.
I mean, Johnny Davis's past draft, and it's looking like one of the worst picks. Kispert in 21 is fine. Like he's a fine player. He's a guy that I think will play in the league for a long time.
But there was no development to be made there.
Yeah, he just kind of is what he is. He actually, like, if he were traded to the Lakers, I would say, okay, he might actually be a difference maker.
Yeah, but the Kispert game is already tuned for the league. I'm not saying that he will not develop. He will not improve. He will, just by the fact that he's training with an NBA team, he will improve in some
areas.
There's
just not a ton of upside. Like, he's Joe Harris, you know?
Yeah. It's just perfect for the modern game. So there is not a ton of development in terms of adding skills, modifying the way in which you approach the game. I mean...
Denny Avdija. In 2020.
I hated that pick.
It's a pretty gross pick. I just don't know what he does. That's good. And then you like look at the guys that were still left on the board, like Devin Vassell, definitely helpful. Tyrese Halliburton, obviously a great player. Hey, you want to put a hat on me? I'm already wearing a hat. I've got a 4-year-old invasion onto the pod right now who wants to put a different hat onto me.
That's a great hat.
Yeah.
It's much better.
You like this? All right. See you later, buddy.
Yeah. Except for the very good hat that Andrew has. I mean, can you imagine Tyrese? I mean, Tyrese.
Oh, my gosh.
Perfect for them.
And Beal. It would have been great. It would have been great.
Yeah. Or ruined, depending on.
Or absolutely ruined his career. Vassell is the one where you're like, oh, man. Like, he's right there, guys. He was right there. I mean, he would have been so helpful. I mean, he's such a good player now that it's just like, what in the world are they doing?
Do you remember that clip that he posted with that awful looking shot like 2 weeks before the draft?
Yep.
I have no idea why a person in his right state of mind published that. I mean, I think that he really lost, I don't know, 2-3 draft positions.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, to post a video, like, why is that? It's unbelievable. I don't know what is happening there, but it's clear that I mean, that Vassell's shot is different from the one that we saw in
the
It was probably deciding where to go, which is still weird.
Yeah, like, the Spurs is a interesting choice.
Yeah.
Very interesting choice. But, I mean, they just continued to make really bad decisions. And then when they took Rui at 9, you know, Cam Johnson, who was a reach, I can't give them flack on that because it was like when Phoenix took him at 11, it was like, oh my gosh. But like,
I roasted Phoenix for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like PJ Washington, Tyler Hero. But then, like, after that, it's like Romeo Langford, the Pistons took Sekou Doumbouya, Chuma Okeke.
No, it was the right player.
Chuma Okeke. It's like, all right, like, whatever. Then you have the Thunder taking Darius Bazley at 23. Traded Brandon Clark. Just still
not the finest.
Didn't like. And then Grant Williams after that. Grant Williams was my guy in that draft.
Yeah.
I liked Grant a whole lot. Even Keldon Johnson. You know, that ended up being just such a golden pick for the Spurs.
Yeah, Keldon Johnson was weird. Like, why a team like OKC that likes multi-tool?
You want a young 19-year-old project wing.
What is it? 6'7"? 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, like 6'6".
Yeah.
Maybe
which is nice
why.
For a guard.
Yeah, but he's more way more of a forward.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he's not like guard in terms of... He's a wing, let's put it this way.
He's a wing, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird pick. It remains a weird pick. That's okay. I mean, you're picking 23. Like, you can do some weird things, but...
But hey, they picked the guy who made the best pass yesterday.
that
was a great moment.
It was... Yeah, it's fine. It's like, whatever.
Come on, be happy. Be happy about theirs, making plays, swatting shots.
Was there a shot aggressive. Made? Was there a shot made from that pass?
Yes. Yes.
For some
Isaiah
reason,
Joe.
For some
he
reason,
splashed it from three.
For some reason, my brain didn't go in. Maybe that's just me being biased. I can admit my own bias.
Yeah,
he's fine. I mean, we all know what's going to happen with Baze. You know, we don't have to talk about it anymore, honestly.
Come on. It's still nice that the guy whose destiny is already marked by Andrew Schlecht, he is still producing quality minutes.
Oh, zero shots there. In 16 minutes, minus 5.
I thought that he didn't play a bad game. He was actually trying to move the basketball, which is a great improvement.
Sure. Also, Usman Jang is back. And so... Sorry, Darius.
You're terrible.
I mean, no, I'm not. I'm just being honest. Like, I'm just being honest
so
about like where
mean.
This is headed. I'm not. This is not mean. It's not
yes,
mean.
You're mean.
It's not mean. It's just honest. I mean, Jang, who played really well in the G League, like you have to feel really encouraged with that.
Yeah.
You know, picked 11th. There's no guarantee, as we see with Rui Hachimura, who had a ton of potential. Coming into the league and a guy that was like, oh, he's kind of late to the game. Like he's got, you know, he's gotten so much better since he picked up the ball and like, look what all he's done. And, you know, he could hardly play when he got to Gonzaga and like, look what he's doing now. And, you know, you just felt like he had this like trajectory and then he just like flatlined, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Jang is picked 11th and boy, you can go a lot of places in your NBA imagination with this guy, you know, 6'11", 7 feet, however tall you think he is, fluid with the ball. I think I still believe that the small sample that we've seen of him, his defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
And he started to make shots. And he is, at the very least, like a very interesting project. And at the very most, he is like something great for this team. And I am so, so intrigued to see. And he's one of like the, he's just a wild card because no one's really counting on him as a piece of the future of this team, you know, as part of the fan base, just because we haven't really seen a whole lot of him. Like you think about Shea and Giddy and J-Dub and Chet, and you're like, yeah, those are the guys. But like, why couldn't Jang be just as important as those guys? Like, there's a chance that he is. And if he is, then like what? Like this, like he is like throwing gas on a fire if like you, if you can actually work out. I mean, it's, this thing gets really interesting really, really, really fast if he's good. Because he's younger than a lot of the guys that are going to be in this upcoming draft. Which, I don't know, man. I'm very intrigued. Not having him for like this giant stretch, I think is very interesting. Like, I think he's younger than the Thompson twins. I mean, he's younger than Brandon Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He's,
he also shots, he also shoot less threes than Brandon Miller. I mean, I just love the guy.
I mean, adding Brandon Miller would be great too. Be great too. I just think I'm just very intrigued with what Usman Jang could be. And even if he doesn't work out, like you're not toast or anything like that, but it's just really, I'm just very interested to see him play more minutes down the stretch.
Would you switch the Thunder pick, Jang, and an extra asset to draft Brandon Miller? You don't have to, you don't get to decide
where's the number, the
pick. You can draft him full stop.
I don't get to know where the Thunder's pick is at.
No, you just know that you pick him no matter what.
It's like right now the Thunder would be 13th.
No, that pick is gone. You put that pick and Jang
for, and the Brandon
team
Miller
that's drafted Brandon Miller, give it to you. Probably you also need to give in something else, like a
something else.
Yeah.
Get out of my face with that. No way, dude.
Wow.
No.
Okay. It's, yeah, it's four picks for Brandon Miller. That seems a lot.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. I like Brandon Miller and he's getting better as the year goes on, but like, nah.
Okay. That's fair. I don't know if I'd do it too, but I just wanted to. I mean, Brandon Miller is the guy who can really create space for OKC. Maybe Jang can too.
Jang might be able to. Jang fits. I mean, he's fits the Thunder profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can make a decision with the basketball.
He's long.
Giant yep, for his position. Like, if he works out, he's the kind of player that you could just never, ever get in Oklahoma City unless you're giving up, like, five first-rounders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't get those guys. Not like Brandon Miller is, like, a guy that's just, like, growing on trees. He would also be one of those guys that you just couldn't get in OKC. But it's an interesting conversation. I mean, Miller, obviously, I think, could contribute probably a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Than Jang can, because Jang is, he's a long-term project. Like, there's no doubt about it.
But a lot depends on the shot. I mean, yes, it's a long-term project, but if he starts hitting shots, then it will be, yeah, let's wait for the other things to come. Let's put him on the court because he can nail a few shots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really want to see him on the court soon. And he had the best game against Atlanta, so maybe seeing those jersey will sending back in time and he just can continue.
Yeah.
From where he left.
Yeah, I'd rather use future picks in a trade to get Miller than to use Jang.
Yeah, no, I know. Nobody will give it you Miller for that package anyway.
You can't, well, I mean,
I know that
if
you,
especially
want
if he's going fourth. It's like we're gonna take on Jang, who is like, we don't even know what he is. you know, and it depends on what the draft evaluations were. But it's like, hey, he went 11th in the draft. Yeah. So you're basically saying we're going to give up. There's no reason to believe that. You could even say that it's a little bit worse than the 11th pick. So you could say it's like giving up pick 13 and pick 15.
And another one.
And another one. See, like, that's where I'm like, yeah, no way. If I'm the Thunder, I'm like, nah, eh. But if, even if I've got the fourth pick, if, like, that's what you got. Let's say you're the Spurs.
Yeah, that's
and you're
my
sitting
point.
Back, I mean, and you're like, hey, we could have Brandon Miller, or we could have the 13th pick, this guy that was picked last year at 11th that didn't play hardly at all, and then a future first. It's like, I don't know. Just give me the guy. Like, we've sucked.
Yeah.
We've sucked all year so that we could get, like, these middling first-round picks, basically. Like, nah. Just give me the guy that's picked toward the top of this awesome draft, you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, Brandon Miller's not, if he were, if, like, if that is, like, the Spurs pick, like, that's not the savior of the Spurs.
Well, no. But I still like to, I'd like to have him.
I know, but they need somebody, they need, like, a hub. They need a guy. Like, they need their, they need their guy. And Brandon Miller needs, like, would function so well off of a guy like Shea or a guy like Giddey. You know, he's not necessarily somebody that's going to, like, give me the ball and I'm going to go create something. You know?
Yeah.
So I would be, if I ended up with the fourth pick as a Spurs fan, I would just be, I'd be a little dejected. You know?
Like, hey, maybe you draft a Josh Giddey type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it with this draft is, like, Wembanyama, Scoot, Amen Thompson. And then, like, you can, like, you got to really talk me into Nick Smith. Like, I can't get there, but, like, you got to really talk me into him being, like, your guy. And, like, the next guy that I think could be, like, the guy, it's like maybe Keontae George could be that. Like, maybe he could get there. And then everybody else, I'm like, no, these are, like, complimentary guys, you know, for the most part. Like, everybody else is, like, pretty complimentary. You know, Asar Thompson is, like, a complimentary guy. Grady Dick, complimentary guy. Jairus Walker, complimentary guy. Jet Howard, complimentary guy. Anthony
Jet Howard, just please stay in college for another year kind of guy. It's not going to happen. But anyway, this is a great tangent. We know about this guy because we have a show every single week that talks about them. So
if you are not subscribed,
please do.
Yeah.
And you can get everything.
Yep. Dream Team Draft Show. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
This Thunder team is in such an interesting spot because, like, you get to talk about them improving through development. You get to talk about them improving through the draft. You get to talk about them improving through trade. We get to fantasize about the Rockets picks upcoming, you know, the fact that they could have four first-round picks in the 2024 draft, that Chet's coming back, and if they had, honestly, any semblance of rim protection right now, they could be the number one defense in the NBA. Because right now, yeah, as it stands, with all the development that still needs to happen, with the addition of Chet coming, with the addition of another pick coming, whether it's in the lottery or in the teens coming, this team is ninth in defense. They have the 12th best net rating in the NBA. And offensively, they have a long way to go. They're 20th. But to have the ninth ranked defense and to have one of the most glaring needs that will be solved next year is like...
Hopefully.
It will be solved next year.
Yeah.
Like that, like if you're not excited, like that's got to get you excited. Because if you're, I mean, here's the top five teams in defense. Hey, you got to go, bro. If top five teams in the league, Memphis, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Philly, Boston. Those are the top five teams. And then you even look at the teams after that. Miami, Brooklyn, Pelicans. Like, every team above them is a playoff team.
Yeah.
Every team above them in the standings is a playoff team. I mean, that should give you some, like, extreme hope for where this is heading right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, either... OKC is a playoff team as well, or they have the potential defensively to be a team that improves and gets there. I mean, it's outstanding the way in which they can play defense even without the rim protector. I mean, they do it by taking charges, by switching in a super crisp way. They do it by guarding the point of attack defense in with multiple players. I mean, I think that Nikias Duncan discussed, it was last Tuesday? Yeah, sounds about right.
Last Tuesday.
And he was saying that Dort, at the point of attack, basically cuts the opponent's shot clock to, 15?
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
If you start the possession like 4 or 5 seconds later than your usual time, it's basically having one less option at your disposal, one less read, one less cross-court pass. All these things are extremely important. But it's not just the point of attack defense. It's the fact that everyone knows, everyone puts the effort in. I mean, Giddy last night really played hard. There was a possession where he was matched up against Gordon and he held his own. I mean, last year, those things were not there for Giddy. I mean, right now he's stronger. And last summer, someone named Andrew said for the entire summer, you will see Giddy getting stronger and this will change a lot in the way in which he plays basketball. And I think that we are seeing that, yes, on offense, but also on the defensive side, where he's not the quickest, but he's playing much better overall. And he is basically skipping way less on defense. There were moments last season where you do 3-4 passes and Giddy's late for a closeout. Right now, those moments are less and less. And this is how they have the ninth best defense. Granted, they are young. They know that they can stay on the court just if they play that way. It's hard to hold a guy that is 27, 28 to the same standard every single night. But if you develop a chemistry together where it's more being sound than and being ready and communicate the right way, and you can do 95% of the job. This will create good habits and a sustainable defense. And when Chet comes back, I mean, it will be tough for opponents.
Yeah. Just like imagine Dort doing all the work that he does and a player finally getting there. And honestly, the best shot that they'll get is a mid-range pull-up.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, if a guy can beat Dort, like he could probably get to the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that kind of help defense there with Chet, if you can funnel guys to Chet, sorry. Like, it's just not going to happen for you.
Yeah, and it's not that you realize immediately that Chet is there and you can't take that shot. I remember Dario Eason having a good game in the first half in Summer League against Chet. And then at a certain point, he was having a drive to the basket. Chet was very far. And Tari confidently took a layup, and the ball was probably in the second row of the T-Mac, because Chet is able to understand to be one step ahead. And so that kind of understanding, that kind of space that he can cover will help a lot. Yeah, and just deter people to try. I mean, Prime Gobert was doing that. The presence of him at the rim was just a deterrent for guys who were willing to drive. So Let's hope that Chet can mimic that and maybe be better, because I think he's more mobile and can. It's not that he will be super mobile and guard everyone in terms of wings and guards.
Well, it's just having a seven-footer that has like tremendous length and timing. It's like, they just don't have that. I mean, they've got most nights a 6'6 guy jumping center, or you have like the other Jay Will, and it's like, yeah, he's good at, you know, taking charges, but defensively, like, he's got a long way to go, like, to be an effective guy. Chet, I just think that he'll step in and just be helpful right away. I mean, you look at the other teams that are at the bottom of the defensive ratings. San Antonio Spurs are at the very bottom. Young team. Detroit Pistons, 29th. Young team. Houston Rockets, 28th. Young team. Charlotte Hornets, 27th. Young team. Utah Jazz, 26th. And then, like, Orlando's 23rd. Indy's 22nd. Like, that's where all the young teams are. You look at every other team, and it's like, the rest of these teams aren't young teams. You know, those are all experienced teams. I mean, Memphis is at the top. They're one of the younger teams, but they're one of the teams that have figured it out. And, like, how did Memphis figure it out? Well, they played defense first. And then they had a star guard. I don't know. The Thunder aren't that different from that Memphis trajectory. I mean, Memphis made the play-in, ended up beating Golden State in the play-in and getting to the playoffs. And that was their, like, arrival. And you can't predict, like, that exact sequence happening for OKC. They may miss the play-in totally. Because the thing about it is, there'll be people, and I've even been on podcasts, I talked about this with Mark Schindler on Slam and Jam. Like, hey, do you think that they will go get X piece or, like, add one more guy or something like that? Like, no. And in fact, they're going to go the opposite direction. And they're going to be bringing in Usman Jang, and he's going to play. And he's one of the younger guys from this past draft, and he's going to play a lot. And will he be more hurtful than helpful? Probably, because that's what teenagers are in the NBA. And that's going to be okay, because, like, this year is not the goal. Like, think about if they actually traded for OG Anunoby. Like, you're going to have to extend him, give him a big fat deal. One, I don't even think he wants to play here. Like, honestly, like, let's just, like, be frank. Like, I don't think a guy like OG wants to play here. Like, you're going to tell OG, hey, OG, you want to come to Oklahoma City where maybe you're the third option? Maybe you're the fourth option, though. Like, honestly, like, if we're really being frank, like, you're the fourth option. You want to come here? Even if he said yes to that, you're going to have him taking on a huge, huge portion of your cap. And then it's going to force you to make decisions about guys like J-Dub way earlier than you want to. So yeah. You really want to do that? Like, the answer is absolutely not. It is nonsensical. Like, this is, one, it's not the time because you don't even know who your team is. Like, you don't even know what you've got. Until you have, like, a real chance to look at Chet with this group, you have no clue what you have. Absolutely no clue. And then you draft.
Yeah, you can move in the margin. You can, if Muscala says, hey, look, my ankle is really hurting.
Yeah.
Can be on the staff instead of
right
field.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And you have.
You can do like another Isaiah Joe type of deal, and you bring in somebody else that's like of that caliber, and they see if they work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the New York Times put out an interview with Chet. I can't remember when that went out, but he just talks about how hard he's been working. And like, if you want to get really excited, you can go read that. There's not like anything like groundbreaking in it, but like just the fact that his attitude and the way that he has quote unquote attacked the program from the angle that he has, it's pretty impressive. Like, it's just an impressive mindset that you hear from him. So yeah, that went out in the New York Times. So it's, you just have to be really excited and you have to let it play out. Like, you have to let this whole process play out. There are so many guys that need a chance to develop. Jang is toward the top of that list with this current group where it's like, yeah, we've got to figure out who this guy is. Like, is he worth investing more resources in to get us to the place where we want to be? You know, I don't know. I don't think they have any way of knowing that either. Like, let's figure out also, like, what do we have in Trey Mann? Like, Trey, you got the rest of this year and next year. And we got to figure out if you've got the stuff, you know.
Interesting wrinkle that I mentioned this morning already. I'm repeating myself a lot, but the fact that from a good stretch, Giddy and J-Dub were playing a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And
that's shifted,
now it's Trey Mann.
Yeah, it's shifted. It feels like, okay, we know that works. We're gonna put that over here on the shelf. You know, here's the shelf of things that work, you know. And on that shelf is like the lineup with Kenrich at center. It's like, put that on the shelf. Now we're going to throw out some other guys. You know?
Yeah, which is okay. I mean,
beginning of the fourth quarter with Giddy and with J-Dub, great. Put that on the shelf. Let's do something else.
Yeah, let's see if there is something else that works. By the way, a great paper is suggesting that there are articles that discuss the possibility of OG going to Memphis. That would be actually neat in terms of Memphis getting a wing that, if the trade is for Brooks, plus I don't know how many picks. I don't know if a team like Memphis can trade a guy like Brooks.
I don't think they would trade Brooks in it. I think they would keep Brooks and add to it. And they would probably trade. It would have to be like young pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be young.
He's Canadian. Maybe Toronto will get the...
Yeah, but if you're Toronto, you don't really want Dylan Brooks.
Why?
Right?
But it depends on the picks that you have.
We can talk about a lot of reasons why. But yeah, I mean, like, give me Santi, you know?
Yeah.
Give me, I don't know, Kenny Lofton just for fun. Zaire Williams.
Zaire Smith. Oh, Williams, sorry.
Yeah, I'd take Zaire Williams. Like, somebody like that. Like Zaire, somebody that's got some upside, like Zaire Williams or Santi Aldama and some picks would be enough. And if I'm the Grizzlies, like, I'm wanting to win now, like, I'm not trading Dylan Brooks. And I know that there's like a lot of people don't like him and they think that he's not a winning player, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Like, I still want Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. But if you replace Dylan Brooks minutes with OG.
I mean, it'd be pretty great.
You improve. You get more efficient. You get like better defensively, probably. I don't know.
Brooks is pretty good. I mean, if you could go small though, with Adams sitting, and Triple J at the center, and OG at the four, Brooks, Bane, and Morant. Like, holy smokes!
Yeah,
like, watch out. I might make Dylan Brooks come off the bench to start, and you start with OG at the three. and Triple J and Steve-O.
Yeah.
But then you can go small, and you're like, what do you do with that?
Like, you played Kenrich at center, and you beat them.
Yeah, that's what I'm fine with OG going after them as going, or the Memphis going after OG. Like, that's fine. The Thunder just aren't ready yet. Memphis is number one in the West. I joked with somebody today. Somebody added Down to Dunk and asked, like, what would it take for the Thunder to be buyers at the deadline? I said, well, if they're number one in the West, sure. And Memphis is number one in the West. Like, they're ahead of schedule. And you have the luxury of being able to make deals like that when you're ahead of schedule. I don't know what the appetite in Memphis is for paying the luxury tax. That's like the other thing that I just don't know.
Yeah.
Because if you're making a deal for OG, you're either going to have to make a really, really hard decision on a guy like Desmond Bane, or you're going to have to just pay a lot of luxury tax money. And like, what's the appetite? Like, that's a big thing, you know? Grape Ape also brings up Kevin Garnett's tweet. Did you see this from last night?
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's like, yeah, KG, like, we've all been on this train for a long time, but it's just kind of cool to see a guy like KG tweet something like this. Those are MVP type numbers in a normal year that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is putting up in OKC, and it's high IQ and efficient than a MF exclamation point. These young guys are going to do the league right. We good. It's just cool.
Yeah,
it's
we
cool.
good.
It's cool to see. I just think if you're somebody that's saying the Thunder should do a deal for this guy, or the Thunder should be buyers, like, you've kind of missed the vision a little bit of where this is going. Because, like, just stop and just go take a look at, go hop on Real GM and check out what the future pick situation looks like. Because it's just not time. And go look at the roster and look at the ages of the guys on the roster. It's just not time yet.
Yeah.
And look at the standings in the West. Like, it's just not time yet. Like, give it a couple years, you know? Unless you can find me a player that's on a rookie scale contract that would fit perfectly with this team, that would help take them to the next level without having to sacrifice any of the guys on their core, bring me that player, and then I might say yes.
That's Chet Holmgren.
That guy, yeah, exactly. But somebody on another roster, I guess that's like impossible. And if you can give me an example of that, like, we'll absolutely talk about it. But if you're going to bring me a veteran that's got 1 or 2 years left on his contract, that needs a contract extension soon, no. Absolutely not. That's not going to happen with this team. Like, this just not, that's not quite, that's not, it's just not the vision of where this is heading. So, all right. I got to go. Any other thoughts that you just have to put out into the universe before we go, Michele?
No.
Okay. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk if you want to listen to the show with no ads on it. Zero ads if you listen on the Athletic app. You can also read all the wonderful articles. There's lots of trade stuff going on. We got the Rui Hachimura trade. Woo! There'll be more. Who knows? Maybe Thunder related, maybe not. Maybe we'll get a Darius Bazley trade, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Trade deadline is coming up quickly. All-Star weekend also coming up quickly. Should be an interesting weekend for OKC Thunder fans. We'll have you guys covered at The Athletic for that as well. Hope you guys have a great Monday. And we might have another interesting guest on Down to Dunk tomorrow. So stay tuned.
Wow.
Hope you guys have a great Monday. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.